जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, जय नितय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल।
Hare Krishna. So welcome all the devotees for our 171st Prerna Youth Festival. And today's speaker is His Grace Nanda Dulal Prabhu. Hari Bol. We are very happy to introduce him. Nanda Dulal Prabhu has done his B.Tech Mechanical Engineering in the year 2000. He has been connected to ISKCON right from his engineering college days. He was introduced to Krishna consciousness during his engineering college days, and thereafter picked up Krishna consciousness very smooth, very fast. Was one of the best ever students of that time when he was coming here. And in the year 2005, then after completing his studies and working for Tech Mahindra as a very senior person, he joined the Krishna consciousness movement. Thereafter, since last 15 years, Nanda Dulal Prabhu has been a very active member of Radha Gopinath Temple community of preachers as well as management. Nanda Dulal Prabhu currently has many portfolios of preaching services. He has been doing regular preaching programs in Baramati, and he has been known for one of the best medical preachers in our IYS, ISKCON Youth Services, as well as he is also well known for his wonderful devotional attitude and devotional fervor, for which he is known as a humble person in our temple and in our youth teachers. Prabhu is also a very important member in the Council of Management, which overlooks the ISKCON Society's, ISKCON Chopati's management programs. There are many more things, wonderful things Prabhu is doing, especially in the education field. We have the concept called as VTA and BT, which is part of the ISKCON Chopati educational realm. And Nanda Dulal Prabhu, under guidance of His Holiness Sadhanath Maharaj, has been heading that department very nicely. So there are many more things to tell about him, but right now let's move ahead and welcome Nanda Dulal Prabhu for our program. The topic for today's Prerna is From Fear to Hope. Relevant program right now. We are all locked down in our places. We are not able to come for Prerna physically, but in spirit we are all together. Let's enjoy in the spirit 171st Prerna Festival with His Grace Nanda Dulal Prabhu by three times loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm really grateful to all the IYS organizers for giving me an opportunity to address at such a critical juncture in our lives on a very important topic. Currently, we are all in our own places dealing with a situation that was never anticipated. None of us ever had heard about it. None of us ever have any experience about it. And yet, all of us, irrespective of where we are, what we are doing, have been totally captured by it. And that's why we have selected a topic for speaking today, from fear to hope. Some statistics, just to get real. All over the world, till now, 27,97,075 people have been infected by corona. In India, the figure is 24,434. This is on 24th of this month by 11 p.m. The total deaths till today, casualties are 1,94,605 all over the world, and in India 780. So I would really request all of you to please join with me for a few moments and offer our prayers to the Supreme Lord for giving tremendous strength, tremendous resilience to all the families who have been affected by it directly or indirectly. Also, we'll all pray to Shri Shri Radha Gopinath to give unlimited strength, unlimited courage for all the corona warriors who are fearlessly fighting against this disease and helping humanity at large to take advantage of the human form of life. We'll offer our prayers to Shri Shri Radha Gopinath by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra once. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Some devotees have informed me that today is Shri Parshuram Ji's Jayanti. Lord Vishnu incarnated in this world to fight with wrong, and I guess somewhere there is something wrong going on. There are some speculations about the origin of this virus. So let us all pray to Lord Parshuram also. Also, one more devotee has mentioned to me that today is Srila Shukdev Goswami appearance day, and Shukdev Goswami also appeared in this world to give us the elixir of spirituality. So let us all pray to Shri Parshuram Ji and also Shri Shukdev Goswami Maharaj that they give us strength to overcome our obstacles and also taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, by which we can develop some positive vibrations from positive thoughts in our lives. So with these few words, we'll begin. Wherever we are in our lives, we can all offer our prayers today. Whatever situation we are in, let's offer hope to everyone around us. To help others does not take for us to be strong. If we want to help others, we may not be strong, but we have faith in the strong and we are ready to do the needful to help others. So whoever we are, let's offer our prayers to the Supreme Lord. The situation today is very scary. None of us are aware of when it will end. When did it start? How far has it spread? How many are carriers? How many are really transmitters? How many are infected? How many are affected? All these figures are very difficult to understand right now, today. So in this scary situation, everyone is wondering, when does this whole thing end? And as this is going on, some are enjoying working from home. There are people who are locked down in their homes, and probably their prayers to God for spending more and more time with their family have been answered. So somewhere there are some people who are enjoying working from home. They have some peace at home. Some of them are actually getting worked out. Whereas some people are also feeling confined, and all of them are feeling fearful. For those who have assured jobs, it's just a question of changing the location. But for some whose jobs may not be assured, for them this kind of uncertainty is really fearful. They don't know how long they will last. Of course, there are government protection measures that for 3 months we don't do anything drastic with our employees, but still beyond that, so many people are scared. We know of one school where the admissions are in question, and the principal of the school is worried whether sufficient people will take admissions this time because the earnings of the parents have reduced. They are in question. So a lot of things are going to happen here. Talking of fears, I'm sure you could have heard of these few fears that we have noted. There is a fear of spiders, arachnophobia. This fear of heights, acrophobia. This fear of the dark, nyctohylophobia. This fear of death, thanatophobia. Fear of clowns, fear of snakes, fear of confined spaces. I have known of fear of bald people. I have known people who have fear of walking on bridge. I know people with fears of being alone, being lonely. But all of you, have you heard about this fear called FOMO? It's called the fear of missing out. And this is a recent phenomenon where many of the millennials are typically those people who are born in the mid 80s and the mid 90s. Roughly their age group right now is 35, 40-ish, around that place. And most of these people, they are those who are affected by this called FOMO. So let's see what is this FOMO. Intelligent people have mentioned that there were some stages of development before our present state. So they are saying we have arrived at something called as Homo sapiens. And from Homo sapiens, we move on to FOMO sapiens. So what is FOMO sapiens? There's so much to read, see, watch, hear, compare, comment on the internet, and people are just spending unlimited time on the internet. So there are some statistics. Something like 27% of these millennials or youngsters, as soon as they wake up in the morning, the first thing that they check out is their social media status. 56% experience this fear that maybe something important happened during the time they were sleeping and they want to catch up with the rest of the events. This is a generation which has accepted that 33% of them have purposefully tried to create FOMO in their friends. 60% have made a reactive purchase within 24 hours of watching some post on social media. Maybe it is about some product. Maybe it is about some event which is happening in the world and the youngsters are invited there and they haven't yet received an invitation. So some of them have done a reactive thing, and 61% of these people feel inadequate in their lives if they don't have the latest products and if they are not updated with what is happening on the internet currently. The big things in these people's lives is travel is a very big thing. 59% have admitted. 56% have admitted that parties are very important for them, and 29% have admitted that food, especially dining out in restaurants and putting a location on Facebook, is very important for them. And this kind of a situation where the current generation is focusing more on extrinsic things, more on something that is outside of them, the gadgets that they have, the products that they use, the clothes that they wear, the places where they stay in the city. There is so much emphasis on these extrinsic things, they have very little time to focus on their intrinsic values. Is simplicity important? Is humility important? Is straightforwardness important? Is being genuine important? Is being authentic important? There's simply no time to focus on these values. So here we have a generation who has a lot of money and who does not know how to use it properly for an investment in their own development in terms of their culture, in terms of their character, in terms of their thought progress and so on. And the internet companies have been very quick and have been very advanced to catch up on these people trying to take advantage of this. So we have some statistics from the internet companies also. They have said that on places like Amazon, eBay, right now, for some products, they put a timer there, that there is some special offer going on and that special offer expires after a few hours or something. So they have said just by putting a timer there, 8.6% increase in sales has been observed. Same crowd, same everything, just by putting a timer. It is said that 92% of the online purchasers put more faith on the product reviews that come below the product rather than on the words of the salesman or on the trust of the company generated in the market. There are 12 times more purchases which are based on the reviews rather than on the product description by the company. 31% of these people have accepted that they will spend more money if the reviews are very good. And many times, as little as 1 to 4 reviews of a product have tempted around 41% of the people to go for the product. So you can see there was some marketing that was going on in this world before the internet came in, before the internet sellers came in, where the sales pitch of the people who were selling was important. Now what matters is, oh, what did the previous user feel about the product? What is his review of the product? This is called UGC, user generated content. So now the generation is, what matters more is not the seller's view, what matters more is my friend's view. What matters more is my relative who recently purchased a product and what is he saying about it. This is user generated content. So user generated content is the hottest thing right now. And because there are so many users and all of them are putting their reviews and putting their views and putting their thoughts on the internet, all recorded. So people are so much in their fear of missing out that the 24 hours sometimes fall less. So somewhere around 18-20% of the whole day when they are wake up in a woken up state is spent purely on social media. Now if you spend 1/5 of your awake day just on the phone, can you imagine what else is there to do? There is rest to be taken, there is contemplation to be done, there is some introspection necessary regularly, there is no time for that. So that's why we are dealing with an important phenomenon today, and it is called FOMO. 56% are afraid of missing something such as an event, news, important status update if they don't keep an eye on their social networks. So at one point of time, the crowd would chase the leader. There would be somebody who would stand out. He had his own opinions. He wanted to make his mark. And the crowd would chase the leader. Today, the situation has changed, my dear friends. Today, every single person who wants to stand out is very likely to feel all alone. He's in the fear of missing out. And actually, the person who's very different chases the crowd. Today, conformity is very important. It is much more important than being unique. And that's why you see, when a few cinema stars change their hairstyle, when you're traveling around in the world today, everyone seems to have this hairstyle. Somebody started growing a beard and everyone has a beard. Somebody started growing a very nice, you know, pointed mustache. And then we see so many youngsters having that. So what is important today is being part of social acceptance. And some years back it was make your own mark. Stand out. Don't be a commoner. Things have changed. So this is the real OMG today. The social values have changed. We'll also talk about one more person who also missed out on a lot. Did he have this FOMO? Let's go into his story. So this is the story of one person. He's a Nigerian. And after this class, probably you could check on Google for this person. His name is Harrison Ojekba Okene. And his age was 29 in the year 2012. So what happened is, he is part of a ship, a small tugboat. It's called Jackson 4, and this had 12 members of crew. And one day in May 2012 or 2013, something like 12 miles off the Nigerian coast, four tugboats were carrying an oil tanker to park it safely. And at that time, there was some sudden wave that just toppled over this boat, and this boat could not stand it. This is around 5 o'clock in the morning, and this whole boat goes down to the bottom of the sea. So around 100 feet below the sea, this whole boat is turned upside down. And because it happens very fast, everyone in their own cabins at 5 o'clock in the morning, probably they were taking rest, everyone dies in the water that comes in. This person is awake, and this person is on his toilet seat. And suddenly there's water all around, and somehow when the ship is overturned, there is an air pocket that is generated, and he is in that air pocket. So it's not much, and he could hear people around him shouting a lot. And he mentions in his interviews that after some time he also heard some fish, maybe some sharks, coming and gnawing at his friends' bodies. So he heard all that. And he is in one corner of the ship, in that cold water of the ocean. He does not know what is going to happen. He does not know whether somebody is going to come and rescue him. and in such a situation, all he had was no food. He had one Coke bottle. So in 3 days, in cold water, in a situation of utter desperation, there is obviously no electricity, there is no light. He is in the bottom of the ocean in total darkness and he has one Coke bottle just to survive. Whatever he had inside him was there. And somehow, after struggling around, he found one torch for some time. That torch battery lasted for one day. So I'm just thinking about him, what kind of life will be this? Totally hopeless, right? He does not know how to go out, which way is out. So all he did was wait. And he waited and he waited. And there was a Dutch company called DC and Diving, which was hired by the company who owned this boat to search if there are any people there. So what happened in those 3 days, in different parts of the ship, the divers found out 4 corpses. Probably the others were eaten up. And he could hear people come to some part of the ship and he could hear some sound, maybe some tapping on the metal of the boat. And he thought, I just pray that they come to my side. On one such occasion, he mentions in the interview, he actually went a little bit far away from his own situation, trying to tap on. But by the time he reached there, the people who had come there had already escaped, already gone. So again, he is in a small little space. The air pocket is running out. He does not have much oxygen. He does not have much food. There is no water to drink, even though he is in water. What does he do? One fine day, this is the fourth day, what happens is one of the divers, they come there and they are looking for corpses. And they look and they see there is some hand in the water. And the diver who is looking out feels that this hand is actually that of a corpse. So he goes close to that hand. And this person understands this is somebody out to save me, and that hand moves. And if you watch this video on YouTube, you will see how the diver got actually startled, got actually scared. It was difficult to understand how after 4 days there can be somebody alive deep within water. And then when he touched the hand moved and grasped the hand, and then he's alive. And this diver goes and then tries to find out the source of the hand. And you can hear the diver gasp. He's actually scared, and it takes him some time to believe this, that after 4 days underwater, 100 feet in cold, there's somebody alive. And then there is a conversation, and then they put on a mask and all and give him some oxygen supply and they bring him out. So after coming out, Harrison, he was put in a decompression chamber that took him almost 60 hours to recover, just physically. Because he's inside, there's less oxygen and all that, so physiologically it takes him 60 hours to recover. And after that, they asked him, how do you feel and what do you feel made you last there? Do you want to read his words? He says, all around me was just black, dark and noisy. I was crying and calling on to Jesus to rescue me. I prayed so hard. I was so hungry and thirsty and cold, and I was just praying to see some kind of light. So when he's asked, how did you survive? All he says is, not much physical help was there. All he did was he had his faith in God. And he said, my dear God, please help me. And these are the words of a lot of people who are caught in very difficult situations. I had heard a saying, this from World War II probably. They said, there are no atheists in the foxholes. Foxholes are the pits in which soldiers line up with their guns outside when they fight a war. And they said, there are no atheists there, because all the atheism comes out of a person's mouth when his head is intoxicated and when his stomach is full. So good health, good money in my pocket, good family with me, and then I can speak a lot against God. I can speak a lot about atheism, but when there is danger, and when you are helpless, all you can do is offer a prayer in the direction above. So here is one person who actually had a lot of faith in God, and that helped him survive. Now he's taken a vow that he will never again, he was a cook, he'll never again cook on a boat. He's working in some restaurant. He spends a lot of time with his family because he's very grateful to God for giving back his life, and he spends a lot of time with his family, and he's really happy, and he thanks his mother who taught him so much faith in God. So the question from the story for all of us to reflect upon is, how will we react if suddenly from a bright summer day our life changes to cold winter? suddenly we find ourselves in a difficult situation. Sometimes, you know, I have met some students who feel so much caught up in their exam fever. They have told me on the day of the exam, when they sleep, when they wake up in the morning, they get a dream just before that where they feel, oh, it's 10 o'clock exam and it's 9:30 in their watch. And 9:30, they realize the most important exam, they just catch a taxi, the taxi person is not willing to take him, they somehow convince somebody, the taxi is going, then he says, this road is closed, can I take another road? And he's wondering, can I reach my exam on time? And the taxi goes somewhere, and then there is a roadblock, and this person has to run the last 10 minutes, and somehow he reaches that examination hall, and he tells the examiner, can I come in? And the examiner says, sorry, you are 10 minutes late, you are not allowed from the exam. And with this kind of desperation, this person wakes up from his dream. So many students I have heard that they have this kind of a sudden crisis situation. If not physically outside, at least in their mind, it plays a very important role. So in our lives, imagine in the city environment, if we get into an elevator, we want to go to the 5th floor, and suddenly there's an electricity failure, and you're all alone in that elevator, and somewhere stuck in between. What do you do? If you cry out, nobody hears you. The next time when some mechanic comes, the generator is put on, we don't know anything. And one time I had heard from one person who was caught up in an elevator, he says, you know, all these modern elevators with doors closed tight, and they are high speed elevators, not the previous ones which had that grill to close. These modern elevators, actually they don't have much of fresh air supply. So this one lady who was caught up in such an elevator, she said it was the most difficult situation of her life, with no air to breathe and nobody to help her, and nobody even to assure her, yes ma'am, we are working on it, just wait for half an hour and we'll work it out. So there's just something for all of us to reflect on. If in our lives we are completely helpless, nothing to eat, nothing to breathe, no hope, how will we survive? So to help you with this, I want to offer you a story that can probably help us deal with some situations like this and offer us hope in a time of fear. So one time we were on a yatra, and we were in Ekachakragram. Ekachakragram is the residence of Lord Nityanand Prabhu. He is the most benevolent person. He is the person who is sharing hope with anyone and everyone. Nitai gunamani amar, nitai gunamani, aniya premera vanya, aniya premera vanya, bhasailo avani. So it is mentioned this whole world is a forest fire. And in this avani, Lord Nityanand has brought canals of mercy. The river of love was flowing in Bengal. The river of love was flowing in Puri because of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And from that one place where the river of love is flowing, Lord Nityanand Prabhu has spread the canal of mercy to all over the world, whether it is South America, North America, Europe, Africa, Australia, what to speak of India. So in Ekachakragram, one time His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, both are sannyasis, both are initiating spiritual masters in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, both of them were speaking a class. And His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, he wanted to speak one story. He is from Germany originally. His father was a big officer in the railways, and his father had a friend whose father worked with the Nazi army. We all know how the Nazis were very cruel people who spread a false philosophy. People of a certain religion, the Jews, they are not good people, they are not fit people to live. The only pure race are the Nazis, the Germans, and how the Jews need to be eliminated from this world. So we know how in World War II, 12 million Jews were simply killed for no other reason other than their religion or their faith. So Sachinandan Maharaj is speaking about this person who is working as a guard in Nazi concentration camp. Hundreds and thousands of people from all over Europe are brought there, the Jews, and they will be eliminated through various means. Most common was they'll be put in a chamber where there will be some poisonous gas. So it used to be called a gas chamber. So this guard, he is a normal German, and he was told by his authorities, you are doing a very important task. in this room, in this hall, we are going to now bring in the Jews. And they are dirty people, they are nonsense people, they don't deserve to survive. And this is a task given to us by our Führer, the head of the country, Hitler, and all of us have to assist him. So with all that wrong propaganda that he had heard in his ears, he had a certain bias against the people whom he was supposed to guard and make sure that they will be killed. One day, he entered that hall, and it's not a good place to stay. Hundreds and hundreds of people are just crowded like cattle in a small hall. And to his amazement, what he saw was some prisoners had drawn very beautiful butterflies on the walls. And he thought maybe it is a few of them who are painters, who are some artists and who have that kind of feeling. And he checked in other parts of the whole camp and he saw, no matter where he went, on the walls there were beautiful butterflies that were painted by the Jews. This was intriguing to him. And curbing his inquisitiveness, he one day approached one of them and he said, "Can you please help me with this? Why are you drawing these butterflies?" And this Jewish person, he was very old, he was undergoing a lot of torture the whole day, no food to eat, a lot of work to do. He said, "Actually, an ugly caterpillar, he changes into a beautiful butterfly. And a caterpillar is basically having a plump body full of water, heavy to walk. When I use the word caterpillar, what comes to your mind? Dirty, creepy, not very beautiful to look at, slow to move. And then this same caterpillar, when it transforms into a butterfly, what comes to your mind? Beautiful, fast, attractive, thin and lean, beautiful to look at." So this Jewish person explained to this Nazi guard, for the caterpillar, an ugly caterpillar, to transform into a beautiful butterfly, it takes a lot of struggle. There's a cocoon and he slowly squeezes himself out of this cocoon and that is how he gets a beautiful body. So he said, "Actually, God is giving us these kind of hardships to transform into a beautiful butterfly. That is what is waiting for us." So actually, all the prisoners who were drawing these butterflies on the walls, they were reassuring themselves, there is no tragedy. There is nothing going wrong. All we are doing is undergoing a metamorphosis process. We are getting transformed from an ugly, creepy, fat, plump, difficult to move caterpillar to a fast to move, very attractive, very nice butterfly. And when this Nazi guard heard this story, this Nazi guard had some kind of a internal catharsis. He went to his room and he thought, "Oh my God, I was told that these people are dirty people, these people are the most undeserving people to live." And looking at this person's thoughts, and it's not that only one person was doing it, all around are drawing beautiful butterflies. It means all these people have tremendous faith in God. All these people have so high thoughts that in the most difficult situations where they know there is death waiting for them, they are seeing a lot of optimism. And you know what happened to this person? This person at night time, obviously he cannot resign, when he resigns he is shot. At night time he gave up that uniform and he just ran away from that concentration camp. He picked up his family and left that city. He could not help the situation beyond running away, but he understood, "I am not going to be a party to this crime." So today, you know, this is a picture of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and Sachinandan Maharaj dancing in ecstasy together. So Sachinandan Maharaj, after he spoke this story, he had Radhanath Maharaj sitting next to him and then he addressed all the devotees there and he said, "Can I tell you something? I am a German, basically I am a Nazi." And His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, from his birth, he is born in a Jewish family. So in one sense, both of us should never ever sit together. People from his race have been severely tortured by people from my race, but both of us have given up our bodily identities. Both of us have transcended based on a higher understanding that beyond the Nazi birth and beyond the Jewish birth, all of us are children of God. And that's why we have to unite and come together to a higher platform. And let me tell you, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj are the best of friends even today. And they are spending a lot of time dancing together in so many places and so many festivals. So my dear friends, even in the darkest situation, we have seen how people, on the basis of faith in God, they have transcended it, and it has helped them not just to go through the difficult process. We had a picture of the tunnel in the initial part of this presentation. So faith in God has not only helped them to cross the tunnel, but also has given them faith in the sunshine that is waiting for them at the end of the tunnel. We have one story mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. This is Adi Khanda, chapter number 16. This is one entire chapter on the glories of Srila Haridas Thakur. So this chapter mentions how Haridas Thakur was born in the Yeshohar district, Jessore district of Bangladesh, in a village called Budhan. And right from his childhood days, he is somebody who has attraction to the holy names. And as he is chanting the holy names, one thing to remember is he is born in a non-Vedic family, he is born in a Muslim family. And because he is chanting the names of a Hindu god, Krishna, so the Muslims, they disowned him. And he had to leave his family even as a young boy. So he travels from East Bengal to West Bengal, and he reaches a place called Fulia. Fulia is a small village even now near the town called Shantipur when we are on our way to Mayapur. So in this town of Fulia, Srila Haridas Thakur came and he would chant and tears would flow from his eyes. Sometimes he would loudly roar the holy name, sometimes he would fall on the ground. Sometimes it is mentioned he would make some strange sounds, and people would ask him, Haridas, what does this strange sound mean? And he would mention, this strange sound is also connected to the glories of the Lord, and he would explain how that sound was connected to the glories of the Supreme Lord. People were amazed. So it is mentioned the ruffians, the criminals, and anyone and everyone, of course the gentlemen of Fulia, all of them loved Haridas Thakur. This news reached the Qazi. The local Qazi had a problem with this. He said, how can somebody born in a Muslim family chant the names of the Hindus? And that's why he complained to the king. So Haridas Thakur, in the picture that is there on the screen, is brought in front of the king. And then he is asked, are you going to stop this or not? And he says, I am not going to stop. So before he is brought in front of the king, he is actually imprisoned. And he is put in a jail. So in the jail, there are many good people who have been imprisoned in the jail because they are against the reign of the king. They are somebody who believes in the Hindu customs. Probably they were worshippers of the deities in the temples. And all of these good people, the sajjans, they were put in the prison. And when the sajjans heard that Haridas Thakur is going to be imprisoned in the prison, they also became happy. They thought maybe Haridas Thakur will come and give us some blessings. Usually saints are supposed to give blessings. Many times people approach those who stay in the temple full time, please give me your blessings, please give me your blessings. So they had some hopes in their heart. And when they saw Haridas Thakur enter the prison, it is mentioned Haridas Thakur, he had his long arms extending to his knees, and the eyes were wet by chanting the holy names, and he casts his merciful glance on all the prisoners. He looks around and all of them are so happy, all of them offer obeisances to Srila Haridas Thakur. And Srila Haridas Thakur, after giving his blessings to the prisoners, he speaks something. All of them are expecting freedom from the prison. All of them are expecting blessings in that way. What does he speak? Thaka thaka ekhana achahayena rupe gupta ashirvada kahi hasena kautuke. Here it is mentioned, thaka thaka yena rupa achana ekhana. Srila Haridas Thakur in Bengali is saying, my dear prisoners, wherever you are, please stay in this situation forever. And the next line Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions, gupta ashirvad kori hasena kautuke. Gupta ashirvad. So what is this gupta ashirvad? Actually, when Haridas Thakur spoke like this, you stay wherever you are in this situation forever, all the prisoners, they were morose, they were despondent, their faces fell down. Oh no, this was our hope, and how could Haridas Thakur say that? So Haridas Thakur replies. Haridas Thakur says, my dear friends, please believe me, I have never ever given an inauspicious blessing to anybody in my life. Actually here, I am blessing you. This is Gupta Ashirvad. You did not understand what I said. What I mentioned was, when you are outside in the world, there is competition, there is envy, people conspire against you, they attack you, people loot you, people cheat you. Outside, the atmosphere is of fear. You don't know who is your friend and who is your enemy. Right now, when you are all inside the prison, there is nobody to envy you, because who will envy you? Every one of you is in the same situation of fear. In this situation, all of you have a common fear, and based on that, all of you can come together and take shelter of God together. This is such a big opportunity for you, and that's why I mentioned to you that all of you stay in your situation forever. He said, in this situation, you don't have any bad association. You don't have any materialistic association. All of them are outside and you are inside. Just look around you. He's a gentleman. He's a worshipper. He's a believer. What good opportunity can a person seek being surrounded by all kinds of good people? Freedom from fear, freedom from envy, no materialistic association, and tremendous opportunity to come together and chant the names of God. So when I talk to devotees who are in their own homes, locked down, and they say, Prabhuji, it's very difficult, we don't understand what to do. And I tell them, use technology to come together. Chant your rounds together with devotees. Hear the Bhagavatam class together with devotees. Start reading the scriptures together with devotees and experience the shelter of God. So he says, I mentioned actually that this situation where you are helpless materially but very strong spiritually, I wanted this situation to last in your life. By the way, I also bless you that in the next 2 or 3 days you will get free from the prison. In this way, Haridas Thakur moves on, and then all the people understand there is so much hope in the scriptures, there is so much hope in the association of sincere devotees. And my dear friends, all of us, it's very interesting, in today's times when there is a lockdown, all the gambling dens are closed, all the cinema theaters are closed, all the bars and all the other places where all those things were going on which primarily break the character of a gentleman are all closed. And don't you all agree that there are so many classes going on right now? There is a Zoom class in the morning, there is a Zoom class in the afternoon, evening, night. There is so much opportunity to advance spiritually when all the negativity in this world is down. So one devotee was mentioning, actually this is something like a forced Ram Rajya. In the Ram Rajya there was nothing wrong and only positivity was there. So similarly, today's times are forced Ram Rajya on all of us. So much hope for all of us. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a very beautiful scripture which gives us many hints, and there is a beautiful shloka that's there on the screen right now. We'll chant it together. Bhayam dvitiya bhiniveshatah syat isha dapetasya viparyayo smritihi tanmayaya to buddha abhajetam bhaktyaikayesham gurudevatatma. So here the word is bhayam, and this shloka talks about the creation of fear. How is fear created? You know how fear is created? Fear is created by ishad apetasya viparyaya smritihi. Viparyaya means doing something vipreet. All of us have an inherent connection with God. Krishna mentions in the 15th chapter, all the living entities are my sons and my daughters. And when we forget this connection with God, we create a second reality. Dvitiya abhiniveshatah syat. So till the time we have some existence, some presence of God in our lives, there cannot be fear in our lives as per Srimad Bhagavatam. Fear starts to the extent to which we have turned our face away from God. That is where our problems started. Haridas Thakur, Harrison Okene, Srila Sachinandan Maharaj, and all the present Acharya, Shukdev Goswami, Parshuramji, all of them are telling us, don't be fearful. Krishna in the 18th chapter of the Gita, 66th shloka, he says, Mahashuchaha, do not fear, my dear devotee, do not fear. I have a beautiful song for all of you. Please listen to this song. This is by George Harrison. This is called My Sweet Lord. Thank you. So this is a beautiful song which tells us that all of us are actually away from the Supreme Lord, and we have been, that is the only thing that is missing in our lives. We have been waiting for the sweet, sweet Lord. Take so long, my Lord. And that long process is what our acharyas call as sadhana bhakti. So the sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, is that it takes so long, my Lord. But He's still there waiting for all of us. So, remember the word FOMO, fear of missing out. Actually, while planning for smooth roads, all of us want a smooth ride through life. We have made complicated highways in our life. So, each one of these roads that is there on the screen right now is definitely very smooth, is definitely very nice. But just look at all the mess that has been created. And for many of us, this is the story of our thoughts also. We want to have success in every small thing that we do, and yes, it is possible, but look at the big mess in our head that we have created because of our attachment to all these things. So the FOMO that we have is the fear of missing out, right? And we all need to transform it into JOMO. So on the screen right now is JOMO. What is JOMO? Is the joy of missing out. Is there something in our lives to miss out on? Let's come together and make a plan to miss out on the anxiety that we are carrying unnecessarily. Let us drop all our burden of unnecessary expectations that we are carrying. Let's experience the joy of missing out on the problems of our life. Let's experience the joy of missing out on the frustrations of our life. Let's experience the joy of missing out on trying to please every single person in our lives for every moment. There is so much to experience in our lives positively. I have heard from so many devotees how in today's times, the most successful and the most convinced materialists who never ever thought of approaching God have started feeling some kind of a desire in their heart. Let me switch on the AC. So it's very important for us to understand. I know some devotees who distributed books to their friends in the month of December, and now those friends have approached them and asked them that, can you please help us read the Gita? And all this time they never ever were interested in the Gita. I know one family, the son and daughter-in-law are both in the US, and this mother-in-law is alone in India. And so many times devotees approached her, would you like to chant, would you like to come for a program, and she was never interested. And now she is approaching devotees and saying, well, you are talking something about chanting, you are talking something about the Gita, can I have something like that? I know of one famous doctor, he has been approaching his friends to try out chanting, to try out reading the Gita, and nothing ever succeeded. And just recently, one of his friends came to his clinic in a lockdown period. Doctors can move around because of their pass, identity card. So he comes to his hospital and he says, you remember you used to always ask me about chanting beads and reading the Gita and all that. Can you give me some chanting beads? And this famous doctor is now ready to chant. So many opportunities that have opened up. I can honestly tell you, I used to talk to so many people to change their diet. So many people today feel that unless they have a heavy dose of non-vegetarian foodstuff, they cannot grow properly. And I can tell you today, so many people who are fixed up on consuming non-vegetarian items are thinking twice when they look at their plate, and they are thinking, is this really safe for me? So swine flu comes from pigs, bird flu comes from the birds, corona comes from bats, there is something called as hanta virus, that hanta virus comes from eating rats. And so many things are going on in this world, I don't know, there could be some more also. I never heard of cauliflower virus, I never heard of tomato virus. So all these vegetarian items, if you see, even in today's times, they don't have any virus. There is no Gavar virus, there is no Tondli virus. And 9.26, Krishna is saying, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, Yome Bhakti Aparayachati. Krishna is advising us, my dear Arjun, if somebody offers to me with bhakti, with love, one leaf, one flower, one fruit, and some water, I will accept it. My dear friends, those who are watching this, there has never been a better time to emphasize on 9.26 than right now. I refuse to accept that today's times are very tough times. I am saying, if you have a preacher kind of an attitude, if you really want to distribute the message to people right now, this is the most favorable time. People are scared. People don't know how to reconcile something that they have heard over a period of time in the textbooks, in the media, that non-veg is good. Whereas the figures say all these deadly diseases always originate from non-veg. And we never heard of diseases coming from vegetarian food items. Can you imagine how much more people are fertile for understanding what is the reality of life? What is the path to fearlessness today? So somebody told me there are three kinds of situations in our lives. There are problems in our lives which we are always very fascinated and which we are very attracted to solve. There are some problems in our lives which we are meant to solve. What we are supposed to do is, we are supposed to elevate ourselves, we are supposed to gather more knowledge, to gather more strength. And in this way we can solve some of our problems. Some of the problems, my dear friends, are not to be solved. We have a fascination, but they are not to be solved. Some of the problems are just meant to be tolerated. It's a lesson in tolerance. And there are some problems in our lives which are not supposed to be tolerated and which are not supposed to be solved by me. They are supposed to be solved by others. And when others solve those problems, some experts solve those problems, we are supposed to learn from them. There is no need to get into every small thing that is going on around us and getting affected by it. We have to do our bit, whatever is possible from our side. So it is mentioned, the Navy SEALs in America, they have a mantra. Their mantra is, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. So they are saying how we have this tendency to hurry in our lives. We want to do everything fast in our lives. And they say actually slow is the real smooth. And if something is done smoothly, if something is done gradually, then that is the right fast. Any other fast other than smooth is not real fast. It actually collapses. So how long does it take for the sun to move from the eastern horizon to the western horizon? 8, 9, 10 hours depending on the season. Now, when we have lights in our own rooms, we have a switch, we switch it on, immediately light is produced. How long does it take for the sun to rise? Now, most of us who stay in the city may not realize this, but one time we were in Puri for the yatra and we used to actually see the sun rise. In my estimation, it took roughly 30 to 40 minutes for the sun to just rise above the horizon. My dear friends, 8 to 10 hours of full light, but it takes 30 to 40 minutes for the sun to rise. In our lives, if we want to shine, will it take some time for us to actually go through the process of growing and then shining and then giving light to the whole world? So please don't mind difficulties that come in our lives. All of us are aware of Srila Prabhupada. We have a photograph of Prabhupada just next to us. And we have most photographs of Prabhupada sitting on a huge Vyasasan with so many garlands, and there are so many people in front of him chanting Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. If you read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit, Prabhupada had roughly 10 to 11 years of tremendous success, but he has gone through roughly 43 years of tapasya in India before he got success while preaching. So if you see from that perspective, 43 years of preparation minimum. The Lilamrit mentions a lifetime of preparation, but at least we can pinpointedly see that dedicating himself to his spiritual master's mission took him 43 years of preparation, and after that he got success. So in our lives, we have got such ready-made books and such ready-made concepts and association and entire society, temples are there, congregations are there, everything is all set up. Can we expect some years of struggle in our lives before we can actually contribute to this world? So let's focus on Jomo, let's focus on the joy of missing out. In America, many times there are storms, and the American government has made in many prominent cities something called as a storm shelter. So now the storm shelters are huge warehouse kind of structures that are meant that when there is a hurricane or something, people just go in, lock themselves up, and they are saved from the storm. Now when there is no storm, these structures are of no use in one sense. But whenever there is a storm, in 5 to 10 minutes, there is an evacuation signal that is sent, especially those on the coast. And then every person can actually enter the storm shelters. So storm shelters are always there standing, and many times those who have never experienced storms in their lives could look at those storm shelters and say, what is this structure meant for? No good. It's a waste of money. And when a storm comes, no technology can save you, no weapons can save you. The whole city enters into that storm shelter, and that's why it receives shelter. Similarly, my dear friends, our rishis and our acharyas, all the scriptures, the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Nectar of Devotion, Upadeshamrita, Bhagavad Gita are all like storm shelters. For those who have never experienced a storm, when they look at this scripture, they say, is this not waste of space? Is this not waste of paper? As if all the film magazines and everything else is a very good use of paper. And then when there is a storm in everyone's life, when there is nowhere to look up to, your technology cannot save you, your gadgets cannot save you. In fact, it increases FOMO, it increases your fear. That is the time when these books, these deities, the association and all that we have heard till now acts as a storm shelter. So we have to move from FOMO to JOMO. Today's life is what is appearing on the screen right now. Actually, our ego has made us believe that we are the center of the universe, and each and every living entity around the world is meant to serve us. But what is the reality? In nature, what is our situation? Our situation is that we are just one amongst the several creatures who are there on the planet. How can we ever move our place from the circumference to the center point? This is our problem today. And if you read the Gita, if you read the scriptures, in the Gita, for example, Krishna says, Sarva yonishu kaunteya aham bija pradapita. Krishna is saying, you are not special. You are special in the sense, in the human form of life, you have a tremendous opportunity to know me and re-establish your relationship with the Lord. But in a general sense, all living entities are my children, and you are not somebody special. So my dear friends, even if we find the joy of missing out, we understand the scriptures are our shelters, the devotees are somebody to look up to. How will we respond when life takes us by surprise in the future? Do we have some tips for that? Let's focus on the tips now. So we must do the needful. This is the first thing that all of us have to remember. I can tell you one story. One time in a town, there was suddenly a flood. And when that flood came, people were being evacuated, and there was one particular person who had tremendous faith in God. And he said, because I have faith in God, God will rescue me. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to fear. And he stayed in his home. Slowly as the flood came in, the water level started rising, and the ground floor where he was staying, it became filled with water. So he had to rush to the terrace, the top floor. So when he went to the terrace, he's waiting there. He sees a car coming there, an SUV, rising above the water, and they are saying, please come, we are evacuating people from the city. And he says, no, I am waiting for God to evacuate me. So please come. No, okay. After some time, when the water level rises, the government sends a boat, and this boat people are saying, hey, there is nobody left in town, and we are evacuating the last people, come on, we'll rescue in a boat. And he says, no, God will rescue me. After some time, the water level rises much more, and then there is a helicopter that is sent by some good people, and they are saying, come on up, we'll rescue you. And he says, no, God will rescue me. After some time, the water level rises and this person drowns, and he goes to God, and the first thing he tells God is not gratitude for all that he received in his life. He has a severe complaint against God. Why didn't you save me? And God says, who do you think sent the car? Who do you think sent the boat? And of all the people in the city, why do you feel the helicopter at such a height above the home? It approached you. It was I who sent the car, it was I who sent the boat, it was I who sent the helicopter. But you needed to see my face there. It is not necessary that I always come in my own eternal form. I can use Vaishnavas, I can use my representatives. And many of us have this hatta, we have this zid. We have this adamant nature that if God has to save me, He has to save me in a particular way. My dear friends, God is Swarat, God is independent, God is infinite, God is Ananta, so He can save us in Ananta ways. Why do we wish to force God to save us in a particular way? We have to realize God can save us in many ways, and if we are intelligent, then we'll do our part. We must do the needful. So in today's times, when doctors and medicos are expected to fight against corona, there is something called as a PPE, personal protection equipment, and it includes boots, it includes a full body suit, it has some protective glass, goggles, gloves and everything. Now imagine a person who has a tremendous faith in God. He chants his Hare Krishna mantra very nicely. He has a lot of hope in God. He's read the Gita. He's a firm believer. Nobody can shake him from his belief. He walks into a corona ward without this PPE. Would you ever feel he's an intelligent person? Would you ever try to congratulate him on his faith in God? No, not at all. He has to do his part. He has to wear his PPE. One doctor phoned me and told me in one of the most respected hospitals of the city, Bombay, because there is not sufficient PPEs available. See, the whole world has been taken by surprise. It's not just you and me. So the PPE manufacturers, it's not that there were huge factories going on and they were producing these PPEs much before Corona. In a matter of 2 months, the necessities have changed from so much of luxuries to PPEs. So there's not enough production. No matter what you do, there cannot be sufficient PPEs. And he told me in one of the most popular hospitals in the city, in the morning he told me, fighting, verbal fighting is a regular affair. Two doctors are saying, this PPE should come to me. And another doctor is saying, no, I need this PPE. I'm in a more dangerous ward. So he was telling me, Prabhuji, if there are not sufficient numbers of PPEs available, should I actually go and do my duty? And I told him, you have to do the needful. If not that proper mask, take a handkerchief, fold it 3 times, make sure that you're breathing, but protect yourself. If you are really having that kind of a desire to help people in times of need and you have the necessary skills, please do not forget to protect yourself. I have another story. One time there was a bunch of youngsters, college going, who wanted to go on a picnic, and this picnic was scheduled to be on an island in the middle of a huge lake. So in the morning around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, they reached the shore of the lake, and they convinced one boatman that can we go to the island in between and then we'll have some fun there and evening you carry us back. And he says yes. And they get onto the boat. And when they get onto the boat, they are having a lot of fun. And as he is starting the boat, he offers sincere prayers to God. And he says, my dear God, please protect all of us. And all these youngsters, they are sitting there, ha ha, he say, this fool, he does not believe in saving himself and he's praying to God. And he'll say, hey, oldie, just look at us, we are having fun, nothing goes wrong, okay, come on, chill out. And this person just completes his prayer, starts the boat and is on his way to the island. Now it's a long ride, it takes one and a half hours. Meanwhile, suddenly there is a storm. And in that storm, the waves start and the boat is rocking. And this person is at the wheel and he's really trying to control the wheel, the boat, and trying to ensure the safety of these people. And when he is doing that hard work of controlling the wheel of the boat, all these young kids, now they understand, ab kya karenge? Many of them don't even know swimming. So all of them get on their knees and they start praying to God. And that time this old man is really struggling hard to control the boat. And after everything settles, fortunately they are all safe, they reach the island, and one of them youngsters, he has a question for the old person. He says, my dear old person, I didn't understand one thing. When we were in the toughest of situations and when we were all praying, we thought you will also pray. At that time you were busy trying to control the boat. It does not make any sense. You know what he says? He says, I don't pray during the day, I work hard during the day, my prayers are in the morning. Before starting the boat, I offered my prayers to God. My dear Lord, please give me the strength to take care of others' lives. Please give me the intelligence to do the needful if there is an emergency. And armed with this knowledge, armed with this mercy, armed with the blessings of God, I work hard during the day. So, when you thought it was a good time to pray, I was actually trying to save the boat. At that time, if I also gave up, we don't know if the boat would have survived. I really like this story. There was once a time when Srila Prabhupada was talking to his disciples and Srila Prabhupada said, do you think Arjun was chanting 16 rounds while fighting with his bow and arrow on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? So there was no time to chant. He can't waste a single moment. There are arrows coming from all directions. He's busy. He's alert fighting the war. All his prayers and all his interactions with Krishna in that form of a devotee interacting with the Supreme Lord happened in the morning. So my dear friends, we all have to take these words very seriously. Most of us are busy with our own affairs in the morning time and then we are chanting during the whole day. We have to change it. We have to take out the words of Srila Prabhupada very seriously. We chant, we pray, we offer ourselves to the Supreme Lord in the morning time, and during the day we work very hard, we are very alert, we are doing what is needful. Actually, the real fear in our lives, if I can say, is not what others can do to us. When others do something to us, we can save ourselves. You know what is my biggest fear? My biggest fear is, what will I do to myself? When I'm adamant, when I'm not ready to receive guidance, when I'm not taking advantage of the spiritual facilities that have been offered to me, I am basically making my mind my guru. So all of us, before we have taken initiation from somebody, we have actually taken initiation long back from the guru called mind, mera man. So this mind has a very amazing quality of being with us at all times. Even at night time when nobody is around us, the mind is with us, giving us crazy dreams and crazy thoughts and crazy plans. And sometimes I wonder, how can such dirt be there inside me? So my dear friends, please do the needful when it comes to dealing with the outside situation. Pray in the morning, work hard in the daytime. Protect yourself with the right PPE. It may be different for different people. And please always believe to protect yourself and do the needful when it comes to your mind. Never ever trust the mind. If you have an outstanding idea to do something very radical, something that this Vaishnava and this Vaishnava has never done, I'll tell you something. At that point of time, write it down on a piece of paper, put the pen, take good time. If it is evening time, if it is night time, go to sleep. In the morning when you wake up, again have a look at the paper and think whether this radical idea, whether this outstanding idea is actually a good idea and actually a beneficial idea. Many times it could be something coming from the deep depths of the material mind. So we have to be very careful. One devotee was sharing how, you know, they're watching all these television serials, Ramayana and Mahabharata, on the television nowadays. And all his parents are watching the television serial. And he was mentioning one word called Triloki Nath or something. So Lord Ramchandra was glorified as Triloki Nath in one particular episode. And he saw that everyone is appreciating it. And this devotee, because his parents have never actually participated in Krishna consciousness, after the television serial, he made some juice and he offered it to Radha Gopinath. And then he shared it with all his parents, and he thought, wow, now they are really ready to understand who is Lord Ramchandra, who is Lord Krishna. And as he started speaking one sentence, everyone said, nahi, Krishna bhi hai, Ram bhi hai, ye bhi hai, wo bhi hai. And they started speaking many names, and this person got totally confused. He said, abhi to bol rahe the, ab Triloki Nath hai, and he is the master of everyone. And now after the serial ends, again you are back to your own ideas that were there from long many years back. This amma, that, there's so many things going on in this world. And then he called me and he said, Prabhuji, when will a change happen? And I told him, you do your bit. You do the needful. Please do not expect a bird to transform into a flower in a moment. That's how electrical switches operate. Nature does not operate like that. It takes long time. You do your bit. You do needful. Things will happen very soon. Something more. What can we understand this? So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 8, the first few shlokas mention how the fear is created. It mentions Adharma and Mrisha were brother and sister. Adharma and Mrisha were brother and sister. According to Vedic culture, brother and sister never get married. But Prabhupada mentions in the purport how this is the first time when irreligion was not only created but also he propagated it. So irreligion and falsity, Adharma and Mrisha, they married together. From them, Dambha and Maya was created, bluffing and cheating was created. Again, bluffing and cheating are brother and sister, but this brother and sister again come together. And then Lobha and Nikriti is born, that is greed and cunning nature. So now again, greed and cunning nature, they come together, and anger and envy is formed. Krodha and Himsa. So Krodha and Himsa are born from greed and cunning nature. And when Krodha and Himsa come together, then Kali and Durukti is born. What is Kali? Kali is fighting tendency. So whenever we get angry on somebody and whenever we have envy for somebody, think about this. We feel like fighting with that person, and basically harsh speech comes from our mouth. So when Kali and Durukti came together, then Mrityu and Bhiti were formed. Death and fear was created. And when death and Bhiti came together, then Yatana or excessive pain and hell or Niraya was created. So if you look at Bhiti here, long, long above in the lineage, there is adharma and mrisha, or there is irreligion and falsity. When they come together, after a few generations, then fear is created. So whenever we have experienced fear in our lives, I can safely tell you, there has been something which we have done which is not really supposed to be done, and where we have diverted from Krishna's plans. The first shloka of the Gita mentions Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is tremendously fearful. Mama kaha Pandavas chaiva kim akurvata sanjaya. He is fearful. What did my sons and the sons of Pandu do? Why is he fearful? They are on the battlefield. You are a Kshatriya family. They are a Kshatriya family. Fight for the right cause and let destiny decide what is right. But he is fearful. You know why? Because he knows a lifetime of cheating has happened with the Pandavas, and this is Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. So he knows Dharma Kshetra is going to have positive influence on those who are on the side of Dharma, and it could result in elimination of the Adharma. And that's why he is fearful. So we can understand how there is so much fear in the hearts of people when they are not on the right side. So we need to have this perspective. The devil is saying on the screen that just see how I close down all your places of worship. Can the worshippers and devotees of Radha Gopinath temple come to Radha Gopinath temple? Not physically. Can the devotees of Radha Parthasadri temple in Delhi go to Radha Parthasadri temple? Not possible physically, and so on. So the devil is very happy that I closed down all your places of worship, but God is saying, not really. I actually opened one branch in every home. Now people are coming together online, and people are spending more time with the scriptures in their own homes if they have the right perspective. So we need to have this kind of positive perspective in our lives. Situations will keep on changing, and it is one way to test our seriousness. There is a story of Kailash which is mentioned in the scriptures. Kailash is somebody who is attached to his family, and as he is dying, he thinks his sons are not capable of taking care of the property that he wants to give to them. And then Narad Muni comes and says, Kailash, it's time to get detached. Your sons will take care of this property. You don't think about it. But Kailash says, no, they are very young and they are inexperienced. They will squander away all my money. But Narad Muni is telling him, don't worry, you move on with your own spiritual advancement. So Kailash, when he quits the human form of life, he gets a dog's body. But dogs are very protective about property. So this dog becomes the family dog of the home. And then he is trying to protect. Meanwhile, his sons, they are squandering his money. Some are successful, some are sincere, and they protect money. And this dog thinks that he will help protect the property from all the thieves and all. Now one day he starts barking at night time because he is protecting a thief from coming in. And some of the sons, they wake up and they say, you damn dog, you spoiled my sleep. And they start beating the dog. And this dog thinks, you know, I'm your father, don't you recognize me? They can't recognize him. So he gets beaten up. Narad Muni comes there. He knows who he is. And he says, Kailash, I had told you don't get attached to your sons, but you are not really ready to do this. He says, no, my sons are inexperienced. He dies. And because he has this attachment to this home, he's reborn as a snake. And he stings somewhere near the home, ready to strike somebody who wants to attack the home. So he has this attachment for that home. Narad Muni again comes. Narad Muni says, just see how you have degraded from a human being to a dog, to a snake. And at least this time, if you chant, if you take to spiritual life very seriously, you can go ahead in your spiritual advancement. And Kailash says, no. Narad Muni says, this person needs a lesson. Narad Muni goes to the people inside, the children inside, and says, aren't you afraid of this snake? What if your kids get bitten by this snake? And all the sons, they really get fearful and they beat this snake to death. And this is the time when the snake understands, I did my bit and now I have to move on to understand that God has a better plan for me. So when I tell this story, I ask usually, what can we learn from this story? One thing that we can learn from this story, among the various lessons, I'm sure you also have your own lessons to learn from this story. One thing that we can learn from the story is, Narad Muni never ever gave up on Kailash. He keeps coming back again and again. Kailash, don't forget. But Kailash is adamant. Yes, we have the story of Vidura. Vidura, when he is with Dhritarashtra, his whole life, he cajoled, he suggested, he expressed so many times, my dear Dhritarashtra, this is wrong. Give up this child. This child will burn the whole Kuru Vansh, just like a fire inside a tree can burn down the whole tree. But he never listened. Finally, when Vidura is driven out of his home, he goes on a pilgrimage, and the first canto of the Bhagavata mentions Vidura again comes back and gives a strong lashing. He does his surgery without anesthesia. And this is the time when Dhritarashtra actually changes. What about Vibhishan? Vibhishan is somebody who again and again repeatedly told Ravan not to get into wrong things, but then he was also kicked out. Can I ask you one question? When did Krishna kill Kamsa? Krishna killed Kamsa when he was roughly 11 and a half years old. What happened for all the 11 years? Every single day Kamsa was sending somebody to kill Krishna and Balaram. But Krishna never took it seriously, and Krishna never went out of his way from Vrindavan, leaving his devotees behind him, and go to Mathura to settle scores with his mama. It is Kamsa who invited death by himself. He invited Krishna to Mathura and he wanted to fasten up his process of death. So if you see the kind of hope that Vaishnavas have in a sinful person like me, the kind of hope that Krishna has in me is actually my hope. See, the infinitesimal living entity has this infinite free will. It has been awarded by the Supreme Lord. There's one thing that Krishna will never take away from us. So we have infinite free will, and because of this infinite free will, we have infinite resistance to Krishna's directions and Krishna's hopes and Krishna's expectations from us. And you know what is our hope? Our hope is that Krishna has infinite support to resist our infinite resistance to his infinite mercy. So Krishna has made himself available in the form of the deities, the scriptures, the Vaishnavas, through Mahaprasad, through the holy dhams. How much support has Krishna given to us, and we have infinite resistance to that. Meanwhile, Krishna has infinite hope one day he will change. Why did Lord Ramchandra not kill Ravan on the first day? He was thinking maybe he will change. So after killing all his family members one by one, as they attack Lord Ramchandra, finally there is a confrontation between Lord Ramchandra and Ravan, person to person. And Lord Ramchandra shoots an arrow, and the first head of Ravan is killed. At that place the second head comes. He takes out the second head. Again the third head comes. When I first heard this story, I was thinking, Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Lord. He knows everything about everyone. Why is he not killing Ravan directly? You know what is the answer? The answer is, when he shot down the first head, he had hope the second head that comes will have more sense. Inko samajh mein aayega, ek ek karke inka pura parivar khatam ho gaya hai, kam se kam mera ek pehla sar khatam ho gaya hai, shayad ye vyakti sadharan nahi hai, shayad maybe it is I who did wrong and maybe he is right, and let me surrender to him. So Lord Ramchandra, with every arrow that he is shooting and cutting off his head, is offering him one more chance of correction. Ravan, think about it. But adamant as Ravan is, and adamant as we all are, we keep on resisting Lord Ramchandra's help, we keep on resisting our Guru's help, we keep on resisting the Vaishnava's help, and that's why we keep on losing, and one day then we'll have to pay a huge price. So we'll have to be very careful that we have to have hope in Krishna's hope in us. Our hope is not in our capabilities. We have to do our bit, but after that it is all up to Krishna. When we go to open a locker in the bank, we have one key, and the locker people in the bank have another key. So first we go with our key, we open, that is only 50%, and the other person from the bank, the representative, comes and he opens the 50%. That's when the locker opens up. Damodar Leela is telling us, we do our bit and also Krishna does his bit. So we have to be very careful that Krishna's heart has so much for us. Only thing is, we have to do our bit and then remember that. So all of us have to come together, and we have to keep the hope burning in our own hearts. I had heard a saying, larger the storm or longer the storm, brighter is the rainbow. So my dear friends, I can see the storm right now in our lives. The coronavirus is just extending itself. We are definitely praying to Krishna that let the storm end fast. But let me tell you, longer the storm, the brighter and the more longer is the rainbow. So the third point to discuss is, actually there is something called as positive fear. Actually fear keeps us grounded. We don't become crazy when we have fear in our heart. Actually, in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned, when Lord Narasimhadev came, all the devatas, including Lakshmi Devi, they were very fearful of Lord Narasimhadev. Lakshmi Devi is a constant companion of Lord Narasimhadev, but she had never ever seen Lord Narasimhadev in that kind of a mood. There is only one person who is fearless. It is Prahlad. Prahlad goes to Lord Narasimha, and if you read his prayers in 7th canto, 9th chapter, there is a shloka in which he prays to Lord Narasimhadev, "My dear Lord Narasimhadev, please cease your anger. Bahut ho gaya aapka krodh, kyunki Hiranyakashipu to mara gaya hai. So please cease your..." Can you imagine this small living entity has the strength and has the faith to tell the Supreme Lord, "My dear Supreme Lord, please contain your anger. Now everything is done, all order is restored, and now we can be peaceful." So this is the kind of fearlessness that is there in the heart of a devotee. And the same Prahlad, he says, "My dear Lord Narasimhadev, I am not afraid of your roaring mouth. I am not afraid of the strong sounds that are coming from your mouth. I am not afraid like of your wedge-shaped ears. I am not afraid of your sharp teeth. I am not afraid of your blood-soaked mane. The hair that were there around Lord Narasimhadev were soaked with a lot of blood." He says, "I am not afraid of your nails that have ripped open Hiranyakashipu, but I am afraid of one thing." So somebody who is not afraid of God is afraid of something. He says, "I am afraid of this material world. The association of the material world is something that will always convince me to turn my back on you. So please always keep me in the association of your devotees." Dhruv Maharaj, when he got darshan of the Lord, he says, "My dear Supreme Lord, usually the whole world takes shelter of devotees to achieve the association of the Supreme Lord, and I got the association of the Supreme Lord, but I never got the association of devotees." He says, "Bhaktim muhu pravatam tvai me prasango bhuyad ananta mahatam amalashayanam." He's saying, "My dear Lord, I had one desire before I prayed to you. That was to get a shashwat sthan. You know what? After I saw you have changed my desire." The first time Dhruv Maharaj is expressing his heart to Lord Prishni Garbha, Lord Vishnu, is that he says, "Ek hi ichha hai meri, mujhe aapke pramanik bhakto ka sang dijiye." So it's very interesting. The whole world thinks devotees are the way to God, and Dhruv Maharaj is teaching us the way to devotees is through God. How safe are we? We may not have very posh facilities around us, we may not have the best of foods around us, the restaurants are closed, and a lot of other desires may need to be curtailed. But isn't it a fact that all of us are being showered by so many classes, by so many sincere and senior devotees who are so eager to share their knowledge with us? They have read so many scriptures and they don't want to have a copyright on that, all that knowledge, and they're just giving classes and they're saying, "Please, please, please develop attachment to the Supreme Lord." So how fortunate we are. In one particular country, somewhere in the world, people were not taking this coronavirus thing seriously, and they were not taking all the lockdown status seriously. So the government of this country, we are playing a video on the screen, the government of the country did something very interesting. They took a drone and they put some kind of a ghostly creature on the drone, and they made this drone go around the city to scare people. So just go through this video. Actually, this is a false ghost. This is not a ghost. This is a drone. But people are unnecessarily spending their time outside. So, you know, this is scare them. Very funny and very interesting. Okay, so it's very interesting how, you know, so fear actually sometimes keeps us safe. If all of us have a fear, "My dear Krishna, my dear Radha Gopinath, let me never ever hurt devotees, let me never ever become offensive towards devotees, please keep me in the mood of the servant of your devotees. I have my own conditionings, I have my own crazy thoughts, I have my own crazy behavior inclinations, but please, 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 let us be fearful of not losing the immense spiritual facilities that we have received as a mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Let this positive fear keep us safe." So, my dear friends, in this corona situation, on the screen, we have two pictures. one person is in the storm situation. So that is all of us thinking. Itni bijli chamak rahi hai, itni barsaat gir rahi hai, this is just like Govardhan Leela or something. And there is so much pessimism in our hearts. Meanwhile, there are some people in this world who are really realists. It's not that they are not affected by the lockdown, but they say, beyond the lockdown, there is an opening up of so many spiritual facilities. There is so much spiritual facilities being offered, and so much darshans are available, and so many classes are available. My dear devotees, look at the brighter side of life. So I am calling this person on the right side the rainbow man. And all of us are the storm man. So all we need in our lives is not to meet another storm man, because one storm man and another storm man, when they meet each other, there's a greater storm. All we need in our lives is to meet somebody who is a rainbow man. So when we meet a rainbow man, then we can see the other side of life, and we see, haan, galat to bahut kuch cheeze ho rahi hai, dar ka vatavaran to phaila hua hai, but there are so many nice facilities also going in my life. This rainbow man is what we are missing in our lives. So three essential teachings to wrap up today's presentation. First is, do the needful to deal with unexpected tragedies, do not neglect. The second is, keep hope in the Supreme Lord's hope in each and every single one of us. Krishna has a plan for all of us. Krishna knows how to make the bud flower in a very organic way. Krishna knows how to make the caterpillar turn into a very beautiful butterfly in a proper way. And the third thing was, nurture positive fear of losing out our connection with the Supreme Lord. If we do these three things, I'm sure we can transform our fear into hope. And if possible, let's make a fresh beginning starting today. All of you can take one piece of paper, and after the class, spend 5 minutes and say, what positive changes can I do in my consciousness, in my perspective today, by which I can understand, yes, there are some fears in my life, but there is also so much rainbow waiting for me at the end of this, and Krishna is showering so much mercy on me in invisible ways. Let me not become adamant that Krishna has to shower mercy on me in one particular way. Let that be God's call. So with these few words, I'll stop here. I'm very grateful to all of you who have given me an opportunity to spend my time with you and to give me an opportunity to serve you by sharing a few thoughts based on whatever I've heard from my seniors, from my spiritual masters. And if any one of you has any comments or corrections, then you can send on the chat in your Facebook screen, and we'll handle a few questions. Okay, we have a question from Yugavatar Prabhu. He's saying, thank you Yugavatar Prabhu for giving me an opportunity. If Corona is God's plan, should we pray for it to go? We are separated from devotees and temple. Should we pray to be united with the temple again? I would not say that Corona is God's plan. We have seen many instances and many pastimes of various avatars mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata. I have never ever come across one story where Krishna tries to hurt people of this world. Krishna never tries to create a disease which attacks people suddenly. No, Krishna is not a sadist who takes pleasure in people's pain. So I can assure you one thing, I do not know the details of how this coronavirus was created, where is that come from. I cannot say for sure, but one thing I can say for sure based on my studies of the scriptures, Corona is not made by God. It is we who have gone away from God's recommendations. In the Gita, I was mentioning about 9.26, Krishna is saying, please offer some flowers even to me. So one acharya says, we eat leaves, spinach, methi, we eat fruits, grains is also a fruit, we drink water. How many of us have ever eaten a flower? Yes, but Krishna does mention patram pushpam. So this acharya is mentioning Krishna is so overwhelmed when we offer Krishna something with love. It could be a leaf, it could be a fruit, it could be water. Even if you and me offer with love a flower to Krishna, Krishna is so much overwhelmed with that flower, he eats that flower. He says ashnami prayatatmanah. So if we stick to God's plan for us, I'm sure we will never ever encounter such tragedies, and we will stay away from SARS, Corona, bird flu, this flu and that flu. Thank you so much. Any other question? Okay, we have a comment from Narendra ji. It was good for giving us positive attitude. Thanks. Thank you, Narendra. Vishal Joglekar is saying that lockdown has been a blessing for me because I'm able to do those activities which I had been out of touch when things were normal. So should we be in basking in this hour and nurture our hidden skills to become much better person, or should we pray for this lockdown to end? We pray for both. We say that, my dear Lord, till the time this is necessary for the whole world to come back. Nature is recovering. Somebody sent me a video of the Ganga River in Haridwar, and it's a clean river. Right now, the Ganga that is flowing in most of India is fit enough for drinking. You put a glass of water in the Ganga and you can drink that water. So nature is healing itself. And we are also getting a different perspective. I am seeing different people getting open to the concept of spirituality and existence of God and the need for self-care. Is it not? So many people who never had time to give to themselves spiritually, physically, mentally, socially, are now thinking, I think I need some time to exercise. I think I need some time to reach out to my friends, to my family members. I think I need to give some time to my kids, to my wife, to my family members. So I guess people are also opening to the concept of self-care. So till the time everything settles in, we utilize this opportunity to do what we have always been missing to do. Spend more time nourishing yourself physically, emotionally, and also definitely spiritually. And whenever lockdown ends, we utilize that opportunity to do what is possible at that time. Thank you, Vishal, for asking this question. Okay, Neha Agarwal is asking, what after corona lockdown, when all the materialism will hit us with all of its might? So there is a saying, sweat in peace to fight in war. Usually when there is peace, we have a nice time, and when there is a war, we bleed. We don't have to do that. Sweat now, become ready for the great struggle ahead, so that when a war happens, you face it and you don't bleed. Prepare for 2021, prepare for 2022. There is so much to do right now. Get ready for the difficult times ahead. Utilize this opportunity. Thank you so much. Harsh Raj is asking, if it's because of human karma, then why we devotees are facing the pandemic? My dear friend, I was explaining throughout the class how there is some suffering that comes to us because we are part of this society. I also know some devotees who are now meditating more on having some kind of a farm community. Srila Prabhupada in his books has mentioned, all one family needs is 1 acre of land and 1 cow. 1 acre of land and 1 cow is sufficient to feed 1 family. So probably some of us who have some money can come together. We can think, probably we can coordinate, and we can search out for opportunities. After this lockdown, we purchase some land and where we grow our own food. Imagine if all of us had paid attention to Srila Prabhupada's teachings. I am not saying we need to shift tonight or we need to shift on the night of the first day when the lockdown opens. I am saying this is a recommendation from our founder Acharya. Please become self-sufficient. So we have to individually, collectively, and also at the society level, International Society for Krishna Consciousness level, we have to come up with different ways where we start investing in self-sufficiency. Let us give some amount of our daily earnings to a fund which probably takes care of cows. Let us give some amount of our daily earnings to some fund that can purchase some land away from the city, so that in such times of crisis where the urban habits and the urban consciousness, the competitive consciousness, the exploiting consciousness again creates a situation like this again, devotees at least will be safe on some farm community where they have their own self-sufficiency. So probably it's a time to reflect that we are caught up in a situation for no fault of ours, but this could be a wake-up call for us to meditate more on the founder Acharya's instructions. Thank you. Yuvavata Prabhu is saying, Parshuram's appearance day, he cleared the earth of wrongdoers. Yes, definitely he did that. Our way of doing it is by spreading the holy names. Gaur and Nitai, their weapons are the holy names. They don't kill the people, they kill the evil tendencies inside the people's hearts. Thank you for asking. Is Nilesh Chaudhary is asking, is Corona one of Adi Bhautik Klesha? It could be a little bit of Adi Daivik and it could be a little bit Adi Bhautik. It could be some karma coming to us from the higher authorities, the demigods. We are not very sure about that. Okay, so thank you very much. I am really grateful to all those who participated in today's Facebook Live session. Let's take this opportunity to reach out to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Let's take this opportunity to reach out to all our friends and transform our lives from fear to hope. थैंक यू सो मच. जय श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ भगवान की जय. जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय. जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल.